Hello, I'm John Dunn in Toronto. Welcome to Out Front. I'm a former Crown Ward of the Catholic Children's Aid Society of Metropolitan Toronto. In today's show, I'm going to invite you to join me on, quite literally, the subway ride of a lifetime. One day while I was riding the subway, I was suddenly struck by an idea. I guess you could say it was more of a revelation on how my life in foster care was like a subway ride. You see, the first time you ride the subway, it can be a terrifying experience. You're in a completely alien environment, surrounded by strangers, flickering lights, loud screeching noises. When you're new to all of this, it's quite scary. After a while, you become accustomed to it. In effect, you become numbed. Life in foster care is like this. At first, when you're taken away from your family, possibly surrounded by police, ambulance, and social workers, then moved into a stranger's house for an unspecified amount of time, you are scared and confused. Once you've been moved through 10, 11, 12, 13 different foster homes, you start to become numb as well. My life in foster care started when I was about 18 months old, after my mother had attempted suicide while suffering from a bout of depression. I had two older sisters and an older brother. We were all separated and placed in different homes. Broken home.
I like playing with my brother. I'm with my brother, and in the summer, and he's coming over for a visit.
The first home. I'll let him tell you.
This stop, Scarborough, Ontario, where you will remain until you are 5 years old.
The first memories I have of my life were at this home. I remember the foster mother was a tall, thin lady with graying hair, named Mrs. Halowski. I have nothing but warm feelings when I think about her. While I lived at this house, I learned how to swim underwater for the first time. I remember it clearly. My social worker was there for a visit. It was a crystal clear summer day, and I was in the pool out in the backyard. I dipped my head underwater for a whole 2 seconds. I flung my head out of the water, standing up, clapping wildly for approval. I was so proud of myself. The next memory I have at this home happens to be my last day there. I was playing with my little tractor on the front steps of the house, the hot sun shining down, warming my skin. A small Volkswagen Beetle pulled up to the front of the house. Out popped my brother, who came up to greet me. I remember seeing my little brown, hard-shelled suitcase come out of the front of the house. And then, the next thing I remember, is looking out the back window of the Volkswagen Bug and watching my home slowly disappear behind me. I looked over at my brother, and he was crying. We were being moved to a new home.
Next up, Trout Creek, Ontario, a small town near North Bay, where you will live until you are 9 years old.
This home was out in the country on a long gravel road. There was a mother-father type setting, and my brother and I were to be adopted by these two, but things turned sour. I have both good and bad memories of living at this home. The good memories are almost always when I was alone with my brother Ronnie. We would ride our bikes together, catch fireflies in bottles to light up our tent at night, and go on long walks in the forest. We had a little place in the forest we used to call the clearing. It was a patch of rock about 10 feet in diameter, and we used to go there when we felt we needed to get away, forget who we were, and just be. The darker memories I have are when we were taught how to kill the rabbits we had by holding them up by their hind legs and slitting their throats, bleeding them, then skinning them. If this wasn't disturbing enough, I was also a bedwetter. As punishment for waking up with wet sheets, I would be taken downstairs by the father and sat repeatedly on the surface of the wood-burning stove to the point where I could hear my pajamas sizzle from the heat. One day he decided to really scare me and opened the front door of the stove, which looked like a cast-iron barrel on its side, then held me horizontally and pushed me head first into the burning coals. I screamed and begged him to stop, all the while promising to never wet the bed again. Along with these things happening to me, I also remember watching my brother's tortures. The worst being when he was slammed into the fridge and dragged downstairs by his hair to receive a good behavior modification beating in the basement. All I could do was stand upstairs and listen. One day when I was about 8 or 9, my brother had a plan to run away. I remember the parents being asleep and us sneaking into their bedroom to get our allowance jars. We then headed out along Highway 11. Again, we were alone, just the two of us, and my Kermit the Frog, of course.
Greetings, Kermit the Frog here. Today I'd like to tell you a little bit about the color green.
I remember how free I felt, knowing I was safe with my brother, who would do anything to protect me. That evening, we were picked up by a police officer. My brother tried to beg the officer not to take us back, but he had a job to do. One day when I was at school, I remember being called down to the office, only to see my social worker talking to the principal, and that's all I remember. Once again, we are moving to a new house.
Next up, Callander, Ontario, an emergency home just south of North Bay, where you will stay until they find you another house.
We were living with a nice family named the Rats for a few months, went to school, and just tried to adapt. I met a nice girl who became my first girlfriend. Her name was Shannon. My first real kiss. And of course, my brother caught me and teased me forever about it. Then again, one day at school, I got the call. I remember at the time being in a special ed class, and the teacher gave me a huge hug and told me how much she was going to miss me and that I was a very special boy. She must have known I was moving again because she didn't want to let me go. This was the first time I remember getting a real hug from an adult and feeling like the person really cared. I then got into the car beside my brother, and as we headed out, I felt a sudden panic as I thought about my new friend David, who I knew I'd never see again. I started to cry quietly so the social worker wouldn't hear me, and we were off.
Next up, Scarborough, Ontario, where you will live until 13 years of age.
My brother and I were now living in a nice family named the LeBretons. While we lived there, we finally had the chance to be reunited with our real mother and two sisters. I was 10 when I met them. We all got along great and continued to have regular visits. When I turned 13, the courts decided that we could try to live with our natural mother for a 6-month trial. Unfortunately, she was used to living alone by this time, and after only 3 months, she suffered a breakdown and was fighting with my brother over something or other. Then all I remember is seeing the police, and we were gone. I ended up with my sister Linda for a while, then was moved back to the LeBretons. Only this time, my brother wasn't with me. For the first time I can remember, I was completely alone. My brother, who had been my whole family and protector, was gone. I wish I had someone to talk to, someone I could confide in. I just wanna know the truth. I just wanna know the truth.
Next up, a group home in Picton, Ontario, where you will live until you are 17 years old.
This home was arguably the worst place I'd ever lived. It was a family-style group home with a power-hungry father figure. Obey your master, master, master of puppets, a bully of strings. Twisting your mind and slashing your dreams. All of us were abused in this home for the 4 years I lived there. Finally, word got out to the CCAS, and we were taken away. Over the next year, I would move through another 4 homes, and then have the choice to stay in care for the extended care program, or go free at 18 years old. As you can imagine, I chose to go free, to be the only one in control of when I would move or lose friends. In 1991, when I was 20, I met my brother again by chance downtown Toronto after almost 9 years. We've kept in touch, and he's been a bike courier since the early 80s. He has a serious drinking and drug problem and doesn't like to talk about our past. He is depressed and sometimes suicidal, but I still love him more than anything in the whole world. Daniel, my brother, you are older than me. Do you still feel the pain of the scars that won't heal? Your eyes have died. In October of 1998, after years of failed attempts, my mother successfully joined her best friend in heaven. I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. Try to kill.